Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
This is session 5 of our series on the God of miracles. I love talking about God as the miracle-working God, as the one who has the solutions to everything. It's fun that we find ourselves 5 sessions in to a series on miracles right in this particular moment. Session 5, I've entitled Partnership Through Prayer. What I want to talk about in this one, I'll share some miracle stories. We'll share a little bit of that. But what I want to talk about is the essential element that we be praying if we want to see God move mightily. First, this relationship that we have with God, it's partnership. And we need to remember we have a part. Partnership is 2 partners. Now, God's partnership part is like 99% of the equation. But we have 1%, and God actually refuses to do our 1%. He refuses. He won't do it. So in partnership, both parties have to do their part. And if one party doesn't do their part, things don't work. And especially when it's God who's decided, I created this partnership, you've only got 1% part, but I won't do it. And if you don't do it, it won't get done, and there really will be real consequences or real lack because you didn't do your part, even though your part was so small. It's so important. It's really important. We want to see miracles. That's this reason we're doing this series is not a theological musing over the God who does miracles. We want to like get some miracles going on in our lives. We want to see God do stuff in our lives. And there's a lot that we're looking at in this series to see how we can get there, but I want to set up some expectations here that's an important part of this story, very important part. James 4:2 and Matthew 7:7-8 say similarly, we don't have miracles because we don't ask God for miracles. I want to say something that might sting a little bit. Some of you are bored in your life with God, and it's because you're not asking for miracles all the time. Some of you are kind of like bored in your faith. But if I asked you, if it was like, if your answer was, yeah, I'm kind of bored, I'm just kind of like going through the motions. If I asked you, how many miracles did you pray for specifically this week? You might kind of look at me and go, oh, what? Miracles? What are you talking about? It's like, well, that's, you got a part to play. If you're not praying for miracles, of course you're not experiencing miracles, and of course you're bored. You've got the Holy Spirit that's longing to do miracles inside of you, and he's not doing them because you're not doing your part. Of course you're bored. Your spirit's bored. We don't have because we don't ask. James 4:2, do not have because you do not ask God. I mean, like, it's so crazy. I mean, we've heard that 1,000 times, but it doesn't matter if we've heard it. What matters is, are we applying it? Are we practicing this? Could it be said, there's no accusation here. This is not like anybody's going to ask you, how many miracles did you pray for this week? That's a dumb idea. Nobody's going to ask that. You want to ask yourself that, though. Do you want to get engaged in this thought process? Well, how many times have I engaged God recently for a miracle? Something specific. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who finds, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. But what about the one that doesn't knock, the one that doesn't ask, and the one that doesn't seek? Diddly squat. That's what you get. Lots of it. A double portion of diddly squat. I don't want that double portion. But you got to ask, seek, and knock. See, this is Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount teaching us to engage God in faith for miracles. I'm asking, I'm seeking, I'm knocking that God would do things in my life. And just one little fun point. Those words in the Greek are in the infinitive, which means ask and keep asking. Knock and keep knocking, seek and keep seeking. Not knock one time and run away. You know, the door ditcher, whatever. Like, you've got to knock and keep on knocking. It's like, I'll tell you what, you keep on knocking at my front door, I am coming eventually, probably with some words for you. But knock and keep knocking and the door's going to be opened. This is Jesus teaching us the way of the kingdom related to miracles. But it's prayer. You've got to ask. And everyone who does receives. See, this is faith 101. If you ask and you keep on asking, God will do cool stuff for you. Don't wait for miracles to find you. God is a miracle-working God. So you are going to see or hear about a miracle here or there that you had nothing to do with. Don't go through life waiting for those, the ones that he just throws out, because that's not his normal. He does that, but he does so many more miracles that were inspired by humans asking. Somebody said, God, do this thing, break in this way, move in my life. I don't want to just experience the scraps off the table that happened to fall near me. Don't wait around for a miracle. Let's press in for him. Let's see God do stuff. And if you, I mean, somebody might say, well, I didn't have to pray for this and it happened. How many of those stories do you have? Two? In 30 years? That's not a good track record, friend. I saw that God do that miracle 15 years ago. Well, bless the Lord. Did you learn anything from it? It means he's a miracle-working God. Let's press in and ask, seek, and knock and see him do some stuff. Not have our last miracle story be 15 years ago. Okay, let's press in. Let's see God do some stuff. Acts 12, 5 through 7. The church was not waiting around for a miracle. They were pressing in for one. Peter's in prison. Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Praying to God for Peter to have a nice day. Praying to God for Peter to feel comfortable in his prison cell. They were praying for the dude to get out of jail. That's what they were praying for. Our friend's in jail. Holy Spirit, break our friend out of jail. It's real simple. Don't wait around for a miracle. Pray for one. And what happened? Suddenly, because they prayed. So suddenly an angel appeared. Quick, get up, Peter. And the chains fell off his wrist. Guys, let's get some stories. Let's pray. That's not a Bible story. That's a factual historical account of what happened on a Tuesday. That happened on a real day of the week with real people and real chains. And a real angel that showed up. Can you just imagine me and Peter and that's like, ah! What are you doing? Well, I'm here to bust you out, bro. Boom, snaps his finger, the chains fall off. Peter's like, what are you doing? Well, just follow me, let's go. That's a crazy Tuesday, you know? Let's get some crazy Tuesdays. That's what the series is about. Let's see the God who does miracles, let's believe him, and let's go get some miracles. Let's go see this stuff happen. God wants to move in your life. I love this about him. I am so in love with God about this particular point. He didn't just save us. He didn't save us to like in the cosmos say, I did it. I've been just. I got him. Got him back from that mean old devil. He wants relationship. That's what it's always been about. He saved us so we could know him. Not so we could be saved. He saved us so we could be in relationship with him. And the relationship is with the most benevolent man ever. He's so kind. He's so loving. He's so friendly. He's so warm. He's so gracious. He's abounding in love. He's compassionate. These are his attributes. He wants to be himself at you. He wants to do all the stuff that's in himself. He wants to do it to you. God actually wants to move in your life. But the craziest thing, he won't do our part. Ask, seek, knock. If you don't ask, seek, knock, there are 1 billion, calculated number, I'm sure, 1 billion things you won't see happen that he wants to do. He wants to, but he made a deal with us. Really simple. I'm gracious. I'm compassionate. I'm the richest person ever. I'm the smartest person ever. I know everything. I've got everything you need. I can touch people and circumstances and break chains off of people. I can do everything. But if you don't ask, seek, knock, I won't do it. Hey, we better get to asking. Let's look at that verse in Isaiah 30. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. What the heck? He's sitting around longing for something? God in heaven, yeah, he's longing. Ugh. Like the first time you ever see that Krispy Kreme donut hot sign on. Oh, something deep within me. God's like, I've got that hot sign on in my heart right now. I am longing. I am longing. Longing to what? To be gracious to you. I'm burning to be gracious to you. I very much want to be gracious to you. I am gracious. I want to be gracious to you. I'm longing for it. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. The Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. How gracious he will be. When? When will he be gracious? When will he be gracious? I like this. How gracious he will be. When? What do we got to do? Are we waiting for a certain time of the year? Is it got to like be on my birthday or something? When will he be gracious? When you cry for help. That's when he'll be gracious, when you cry for help. When you ask, seek, knock, he'll be gracious. That's when. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. But you have to talk to him. We don't have miracles because we don't ask for miracles. We need to be asking for miracles. Try to beat your record. Yesterday I prayed for 2. Tomorrow, go for 20. The next day, try to go for 45. It's all day. You're just useless. People look at it. What is he doing? He's just muttering under his breath, praying for miracles. Jesus, miracle. I mean, just let's go get some miracles. We don't have because we don't ask. He's gracious and compassionate, longing to give us stuff. Longing to do wild stuff. Break people out of chains. Break people out of this and depression and help with this and situation and money. And he longs to be gracious. And he'll be gracious, really gracious, when you cry out. You say, God, here's what your word says. Let's do this. So this would be scandalous if we didn't have Bible verses. This is like unbelievable. This sounds like we can like make the Lord do our bidding. This whole system was set up by God. We're doing his bidding. He came up with this. What a cool thing to tell our kids, hey, if you ask me for stuff, I'll give you stuff. I mean, have a good attitude. Quit being crazy. But ask me for stuff and I'll give you stuff. Daddy, I want a pony. Pony, boom. I want the pony to be a unicorn. Boom, unicorn pony. I want it to have armor. Armored unicorn pony. That also seconds as a dump truck. Done. The back end just dumps that thing out. I mean, it's like, what a crazy, God set this whole system up. He's the one that said, I want for you to engage me as Abba Father. I am Papa. I love you, and I'm really rich and wise. I've got everything. I've got all the power in the universe. I created the word power. Ask me. Seek and knock. Let's make it normal to pray this way. Why is this so, like, abnormal? I mean, these are Bible verses. Not like this is some, you know, mystical book. This is the Bible. Let's start making this normal to pray for God to do miracles. There are situations, actually, I don't know that there's been a time I can think of where we needed miracles, maybe even as much as we do right now. I mean, miracles in mindsets, miracles in financial situation, miracles in sickness, miracles in fear, miracles, you know, in deliverance of fear. Miracles. I mean, right now is a time, and how gracious he'll be when you cry out for help. What a sweet time. Let's make this normal instead of abnormal. Let's make this that we don't have to teach on it anymore. We're all just doing it. And the next time, we don't even have to teach it. People have just been watching our lifestyles, and it's so normal, it's not even taught. You know, there's some things you don't even have to teach because it's so normal in your life. Everybody around you just knows it. You know, let's get this normal. It's getting our prayers answered. I want to talk about a couple of things. He doesn't always do it the same way, which is so God. When you just look around at all the different flavors of trees that there are. I mean, he could have gotten by with like a fruit tree that made all the fruit and another tree that just made lots of good air. And it's like, he could have not done that. It's like there's tens of thousands of like types of trees. He's into variety. He loves it. He loves the beauty of it. Short trees, big trees, wide trees, funny trees, furry trees. He loves variety. Well, it's the same way in the way he answers prayer. He doesn't always do it the same way. But he does answer prayers, like, for real. I like this passage in Job, because I think Job 33, 13 through 14, it gives us a little picture of a truth about God. It's one of many. There's many truths about the way the Lord does things. Why do you complain to him that he responds to no one's words? For God does speak now one way, now another, though no one perceives it. I want us to perceive it. I want us to recognize that the Lord answers prayer this way, and this way, and this way, and this way, and this way. And while we might have preference, I really like it when he does it this way, we want to be thankful when he answers prayer, however he does it. I just want to give you a few examples, because if we're praying for miracles and it doesn't happen the exact way that we were thinking, wanting, hoping, but it still happens, let's not be the, you know, bratty kid that doesn't be thankful for the Lord moving just because it didn't happen the way that we were thinking, hoping, wanting, or whatever, if he's answering prayer. Let me give you a few. Sometimes, this is my favorite way, way that the Lord does it. Sometimes the Lord answers fast. You pray and then boom, there it is. Like, yeah, that was great. That's how it ought to be, man. And sometimes he does that, and just not most times. It's just not most times. But we can't fall in love with one form of prayer and make it doctrine, because God answers prayers many ways. And it's important that we're like on board with his plan. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes in God's infinite wisdom. See, he's so much smarter than us. Every situation, every prayer that he's answering, he's actually tailoring it into the scenario of everybody else's prayers, everybody else's circumstances, the bad things that happened today, the bad things that will happen tomorrow, the good things that happened last week, and what he's going to do in the end times. And it's all together. So with perfect wisdom, like, can you imagine the CPU unit up there? Like, it's like all these processing power. Like, he's putting it all together. Sometimes he knows, I cannot answer that prayer instantly like you want me to. It'll mess so much up. I won't do it. I'm too smart to do it the way that you're asking. So there's a time delay. I'll answer the prayer, but it's going to happen with a time delay. Sometimes that's real. Sometimes it's a progressive result. So instead of even just the long prayer where it's like you pray, and then eventually it happens, sometimes the Lord has a progressive prayer answered. And you're praying, and it's like the Lord does it a little bit. You keep praying, the Lord does it a little more. You keep praying, the Lord does it a little more. And things are progressive over time. That's the Lord answering prayer. It's the Lord doing a miracle. How in the world did that thing progressively get better? How in the world did it progressively get better? It went from here to here, and even if it took a year or two or a week or what, how did that happen? God was answering prayers. God was doing miracles. We have this finite idea that a miracle is something that occurs in a moment. A miracle is God doing anything. If God is doing stuff, it is a miracle, friends. And our whole world is being held together by those realities. Sometimes it's complete in a moment. You go from nothing to everything in just a moment. The full measure all at once. Maybe it happens when you're praying it. Maybe it happens next week. Maybe it happens. But it's not the progressive thing. You just see it happen all in a moment. I love those moments. Sometimes you have to labor for it. Like, seriously labor for it. And the Lord's willing to do it. But there's like a prayer price tag. It's like, how many prayers, how much, how long, how deep, and how, you know, connected to you is that prayer before it's answered. And the Lord's like, there's stuff I've got. It's just got a $1 billion prayer price tag on it. And if you labor for it, you can have that thing. We can get that thing done for you. But it's not going to come easy. And there's just stuff in the kingdom that he is delighted to make difficult. He's delighted to. He's like, listen, it wouldn't even be wisdom if I made all these big ticket items so easy that anybody could just grab it in a second, all the time, anytime. But what happens is, on these big ticket items, if I can use that language, you can kind of track with me, we build a track record with Jesus. Actually beautiful to con us into relationship. We went after the thing, and in the process, we were developing a real prayer life with Jesus. Because we were talking to him about the thing all the time. Lord, do the thing, you know, do the thing. The Lord loves faithfulness, diligence. It works a muscle in us. It makes us stronger. It makes our faith in Jesus more. Because you don't pray it the 101st time unless you've really got faith that God's going to do something. I mean, if you prayed it 100 times and it hadn't happened yet, and you go on to pray it one more, you are stretching the faith muscle. Like, you're showing, I'm in this, I believe God's real. All of that is beautiful. And there's stuff that God wants to do that way. There's just some prayers you got to labor for. Sometimes it's effortless. It's the total opposite. Sometimes it's effortless. You only like half pray. Amy and I have been talking about some of that lately, some of the things she half prayed. And then God just did it. Like, I'll be darned. Like, I don't know. I kind of meant that. Maybe I didn't even mean that, but I said it. It's like, dang, it just happened. Like, in real life, it manifested in a real way. It's like, how come that other one I had to pray for a year? And then this one, I didn't even remember half praying. It's like, I think I was asleep when I said it. And then boom, it just happened. Like, the Lord is wise. I'll tell you this, it is not happenstance. It is strategic. When we get to see the strategy map of heaven, when we stand before him and get to see how all this stuff works, we are going to recognize it was brilliant. It was strategy to a level we can't even imagine. Sometimes we pray for a miracle and it's effortless. Sometimes you forget you prayed it. I've had a couple of those. I prayed something. Maybe I even prayed it for a while. Like, I prayed and prayed and I just kind of forgot about it. And then 2 years later, looky there. That's that thing I prayed. I totally forgot about that. I totally forgot that I even prayed that. There's varied testimonies of God answering prayers. I'm going to give you a few examples of some of these that I just listed. Let me give you a few of the examples. I want to give you one of a very fast, just an immediate. And again, I'm telling you these stories not so that you can know my history, but so that you can know a person's history who's alive right now, and you could look at it and go, well, I could pray that exactly. That's the point. This is to make life and miracles so normal. Like, this is to just make God obtainable. Like, we can reach for him and see him do stuff in our lives. So that's the reason I'm sharing these stories, so that it's not just theological content from the Bible, which we've got to have that as our starting point. But it's now real life stories to go, yeah, okay, I could see how God could, I could pray this and see God do that in my life. Exactly. That's the point. First, I want to give an example of God answering a prayer fast, okay? When we started this church, I needed the Lord to give me some clarity about the future of the church. I needed to know that, like, what we were doing here at Foreigner Fellowship was, like, a good idea. Like, it was actually the Lord, that he had a plan for us. Because if the Lord can tell you the future of your life, of your family, of your ministry, that means he's got a plan and he's in it. You got me? That's pretty simple math. I needed to know what the future plan was for the church. And I was like, Lord, I'm going to go to sleep right now. I want you to give me a dream right now about the future of Foreigner Fellowship. Amen. I went to sleep. The Lord gave me a dream right then. It's a dream I've been sitting on for 7 years that has continually fueled me to have faith for what the Lord wants to do at this church, even though for the majority of this church's history, we haven't grown at all. And the Lord was in that. That was what the dream was all about. The Lord actually said, you're not going to grow at all. It's going to look really painfully small until it doesn't. And the Lord gave me that dream before we started the church, before we had our first church service. The Lord gave me the dream. And he answered the prayer so fast. I prayed, you can't make that happen. Try that. You can't just make it happen. Like, if the Lord gives you the answer, then it's the Lord. But it was a miracle. Answered so fast. I prayed, Lord, do it right now. I went to sleep. I woke up a couple hours later. Boom, I had a drink. Next. Long time. Over at the prayer room, we'd been praying for years. Not praying with great labor, but praying like, okay, Lord, you know, let the prayer room's number of people that are committed to prayer meetings, let that number hit 100. Let that number hit 100. We've been praying it for years. We prayed it for about 8 years, 7 or 8 years. Hey, Lord, again, it wasn't labor. It wasn't like I was all the time praying it. It was something that was in the conversation. Prayed and prayed and prayed, and then the Lord did it. Now, the reason that that's a miracle is because if you can get 100 people to commit to a prayer meeting every week, you got something going for you. A weekly prayer meeting, a weekly commitment to come to a 2-hour prayer meeting and pray, oh, Jesus. And there's never been something that's had so much opposition on it than trying to get people committed to a weekly prayer meeting, okay? And so then to see the Lord do that, but that was over a long period of time that it happened. Labor, oh, man. The prayer room, when we moved into our building over at the Nora building over in Pantego, there were multiple financial miracles that we had to labor for in prayer. We had to labor. I mean, we were praying every 2 hours corporately, but there were a bunch of us that were praying. I mean, we were nonsense people. We were walking around like constantly. I mean, there were a few weeks in there where I feel like most of my waking hours were praying for the financial miracle. Most of my waking hours. Like I'd have a quick conversation, I'd go back to praying. I can remember a few weeks in there where that was like literally life for a while. And we had to pray, we had to labor. And the Lord did multiple profound financial miracles for us. But it took that labor, and without that labor, it wouldn't happen. I'm convinced. And it took that labor, but we've got some crazy financial miracle stories over at the prayer room because of laboring prayer. Effortless. So while that was labor, to get into this lease space, here, right here, was effortless. It took no, it was shocking. Having just come out of a season where we were laboring like crazy to get that building over for the prayer room, it took so much work. We tried to get this lease space. It's like the first lease space I went and looked at. The best deal out there, I find out afterwards, as I kind of did a little bit of research after I had nearly signed the contract on this place. The finances just came in. The remodel went smooth. There were no hiccups. It was effortless. It was like, oh my gosh, Lord. When it was time, and the reason that that's a miracle is because we had wanted a lease space for 7 years and couldn't get one. And then all of a sudden, it was time, and just it was effortless. It was like so fun. It wasn't taxing. I was like happy about it. I'm never happy about a remodel process. It's always so much work. This one was just like, it's just fine. It's all coming together. So many little kisses of the Lord. It was effortless. Progressive. For those of you who are tracking, we're very intimately connected with the Prayer Room Missions base. That's kind of like our mission. Like we're pouring money in there, finances in there. It's something we care greatly about. So we care a lot about what happens over there. Well, the Prayer Room Missions base from its start was always supposed to be a 24/7 house of prayer. Actually, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's a big chunk to try to bite off. It's crazy. Well, we've been praying, Lord, help us be a 24/7 house of prayer. Help us be a 24/7 house of prayer. We're at year 14, and we started with 1 hour a day. And we were praying, God, give us grace for more. And we went to 2 hours. God, give us grace for more. And we went to 21 hours. And then we went to this, and we went to that. The Lord gave us grace to keep building the house of prayer. And now we're at year 14. And we've been praying, and we're at 20 hours. It's a progressive answer to prayer. We don't have 24/7 yet. But we got 27, which is a long cry from the 1 hour a day we were doing in my living room without any worship. Oh, Lord, that was a rough hour. Amen. There's a few in the room that remember. I look at that, I go, that's a progressive answer to prayer. I don't want to discount that and go, that's just because we worked hard. I promise you, there are a lot of people out there that have been working hard that have not gotten that done. It is a miracle of the Lord. And I want to be thankful for the process. There are times where we have those moments where we just forget. We prayed for something and forgot. When we first moved into the house that Amy and I now have, it was before Amy and I were married. I remember me and a buddy, we would go over, and because they built the house, we were able to see it all the way, you know, from it just being dirt, and then they laid the foundation, and then they put the sticks up, and they put the roof on. And at every step, we were going over there, and we were just praying, Lord, let this be a place of ministry. Let this be a house that's just filled with ministry. And honestly, if I can be honest, I prayed that because I thought that's probably what we should pray. I don't know. We were praying it a lot. And then as time went on, the Lord said, start a church, start the prayer room, start all these things. I can't think of too many houses in the region that have been a house of ministry with more hours of proving that point than that little house over there. And I didn't even think about it until some years in, when all this stuff was going on, I was like, this is exactly what we prayed for. I mean, exactly like, dang, maybe we could go back. Maybe we even take that a step back. If we could, Lord, let this be half a house of prayer or something. I don't know. I mean, it was intense. I just looked at it. I was like, oh my gosh, that's a miracle that we totally prayed for and that we forgot about. Now, I want to get you thinking about these things in all different realms, whether it's your personal life, your family, your work. The Lord answers prayers sometimes differently, and that's okay. You just want to be looking for the Lord's response. You know, that was what the rebuke was in Job, is you say he's not answering prayers, but it's actually you're not perceiving the answers. I want us to be those that are aware that we're actively engaged and we're watching to see the Lord answer those prayers, because I think it happens a lot more than we give credit to, and it happens way less than it could because we're not praying for it. I'll give you a last little exhortation here and we'll wrap up. We're in this series. We're talking about miracles. We're talking about faith. We're talking about engaging the Lord in prayer. And all of that is what the Bible calls for. I mean, that's Christianity, that we would engage the living God who's really alive, who really acts and moves and does stuff, that we would engage him. We would engage him in faith. We'd engage him in prayer. But what I want to tell you is there are consequences. And I want to be honest about that so that you can count the cost. So I'm going to give you a few consequences of this thought process, of this lifestyle. I was talking to somebody recently. We're talking about seeing God move mightily in our lives. And one of the things that the Lord brought to remembrance was it's so much more comfortable to not engage God in faith because you don't have to take any risks. You also don't see any miracles. But it's so much more comfortable to not engage God because in the area of faith and seeing God and do miracles because of the consequences, because of the risks involved. And I just want to give us a couple of those. First, if you make this a lifestyle, by the way, it's totally worth it. It's totally worth it. But you're going to get slapped around a little bit. And you just kind of got to get, like, brace for impact, okay? The first is, if you're reaching for God to do miracles, sometimes you're going to miss it. Sometimes you're going to pray for something dumb. And God's like, I love you, but no, we're not doing that. But you don't even know that until you've reached. So there's going to be times where you miss it. And when I say miss it, I don't mean you were praying something unbiblical. Hopefully you won't do that. And if you're going to do that, don't. But there's going to be times where you're praying for something that God just doesn't want you praying for. You're asking for a miracle. God's like, I actually don't want to do that. That's not my plan. That's not my purpose. No, there's going to be times where you're going to miss it. That's okay. How will you ever learn what God will do unless you've prayed for a few things that he won't? You've got to like experiment a little bit here and talk to the Lord. And one of the ways you find out is, Lord, are you even okay if I pray this? Are you all right with me praying this? Is this biblical? Is this within your will? But there's going to be times where you miss it. Miss it, I don't mean you did something bad, you're mean. I just mean it's something that you were like pressing in for, believing God for. It wasn't on his list of things he was willing to do. There are a few of those. Some of it has to do with timing. Some of it has to do with the way that the Lord wants to move. There's mystery to it all. Second, you will face disappointment. Massive disappointment. Now, if you try this once, a lot of times God, in his kindness to kind of get you started, he gives you the first one for free. He like gets you started. So I don't mean the first time you engage faith. I mean as a lifestyle. If you start pressing in for miracles all the time, you're going to see miracles. You're also going to see disappointment. You're going to see times where it didn't go the way that you wanted it to. Where you were really believing God was going to answer the prayer this way. And you had your heart so set, not just on the answer to the prayer, but the method. It must be done this way. And it doesn't go that way. And there's disappointment. There's real ache. There's real disappointment. And I can't, as a good shepherd, call you to the faith journey and not warn you that there's some pitfalls along the way. The reason that this is a pitfall is that disappointment, it hurts like nothing else. It's worse than a breakup. That disappointment is so deep because you feel, you have to struggle through betrayal from God is what the thought process is. It's not real, but that's the feeling. How could you let me pray for this and go for this and then you not do it? How could you let me believe? There's all these things, and God very much wants for us in tenderness. He wants to work through those things in our heart and get us to a place where we're okay with the God that doesn't even do the thing the way that we thought he was going to do it. And for that to be part of the story too, because he's smarter than us. But it's painful. I can't think of anything more painful than pressing in to see God do something wildly miraculous, believing for it, and then experiencing disappointment in it. I can't think of too many things that are more painful than that. But it's an important part of the process. What's most important is that you press in again tomorrow for something else. And that's where a lot of people stop. They hit the moment of disappointment and they give up. God's not real. What about the 10 other things? Yep, but that one time. Do you ever think that maybe the deficiency wasn't with God? Maybe the deficiency was somewhere with you? Somewhere with the way that you heard, the way that you didn't ask enough questions, the way something about you as opposed to something about the perfect one, like he could possibly be at fault. But the process of that pain, while it is refining, it is maturing for those who have been trained by it. But if you're not trained by it, you just get bitter and upset. That can be a real derailing moment in your life in God. I want to tell you about it ahead of time. Because I've had a couple of mine and nobody preached to me. I didn't know this. I walked in. I was like, what happened? Where are you right now? What'd you do? Like, what happened here? Having to work through that and going, you're still God. You're still good. So I missed it. So I misinterpreted. So I prayed something wrong. So you're going to do it in 3 years and not now. We just don't know, but there's disappointments wrapped up in there, and you've got a brace for impact, or those things will derail you. And what derail means, it doesn't mean you're not going to love God anymore. It means you'll stop pressing in for miracles, even though the Bible says press in for miracles, and God's a miracle-working God. Disappointment, and I'll tell you this, there are so many that refuse to go down this journey for fear of disappointment. They heard about what happened to their friend when their friend did that old faith thing. What happened to them, and they refused to go down the road for fear of disappointment. We cannot fear disappointment. Instead, we trust he's really smart. He's really wise. He's really kind. He's really good. He's really got everything all together, and the way he's doing things is trustworthy. You'll also face demonic opposition. I'm sorry. You pray and ask God for miracles. There is an enemy camp that is not elated about that. And when you press in for those miracles, there's going to be times where the enemy has a little bit of leash to come slap you around a little bit. I'm sorry. If you don't press in for anything in the kingdom, you're not a threat. I mean, if you don't ever do anything for Jesus, you're not a threat. But in 20 areas where you can do something for Jesus, this being one of those 20, you start to kind of like get on the radar a little bit. And there are demons that cause you problems. Now, greater is he that's in us. We have authority over demonic forces down here. But that doesn't mean you won't get hassled a little, because the only reason you even know to pray against that demon is because that demon slapped you first. You go, well, dang old demon. We're going to have to deal with you. I don't really like that. But the only way you even knew to not like that was something bad happened to you. And so even if you take authority over it on day two, day one, you got slapped. And I just want us to know that by entering into a lifestyle praying for miracles, there's going to be a measure of backlash that you're going to have to kind of sturdy up your shoulders a little bit. That's also good for the maturing process. That also produces a well-rounded, balanced disciple that can walk with Jesus in and out of the different seasons and trials instead of shrinking back in fear, because we're not those that shrink back. You won't always be appreciated in the journey by others. There will be moments where you just look dumb. And you just kind of have to decide, who are you in this for? I mean, there are times I've learned, because I've been the dummy so many times, I've learned when those around me are looking dumb to try to give them a little bit of grace, because maybe it's the Lord. There have been times where I looked dumb and it was the Lord. There have been times where I looked dumb and I was just dumb. And so you want to give a little bit of grace to those around you, but not everybody is going to be as kind as hopefully we'll be to one another. There'll be family members and friends that just look at you and go, what are you doing? Why are you spending your time, life, money this way? Why are you investing? Why are you chasing? Why are you believing? That's foolish. That's not the Lord. Well, they don't get to decide what's the Lord or not. Okay? That's the word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit and the engaging of faith. And remember, it's impossible to please God without faith. I would rather die, I want to go on record, I would rather die with a testimony of looking dumb 1,000 times and only 5 of them having actually been the Lord. But all 1,000 were faith. Because it's impossible to please God without faith. We've got to like really put that into place. But you won't necessarily always be appreciated. It's important to know that, because I remember, like, those first 5 or 10 times, like really pressing in for faith, and all the people around me going, that's dumb. Don't do that. Well, that's what the Bible says. Well, I don't know what you think the Bible says. I don't think that's what the Bible says. I think you're dumb. I remember having to go through that and like, oh, you're my friend. Like, you're supposed to be, you got my back, right? It's like you just kind of have to decide who are you trying to please and go on that journey. Now, listen to counsel. Ask for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. When somebody says you're an idiot, ask the Lord, Lord, how much of that statement is true? And if the Lord's like, 5%, Holy Spirit, identify the 5% idiocracy. Show me how where I'm dumb, 5%. Show me. So I won't be dumb 5%. The other 95%, I can keep on plowing. Don't get offended when people offer you constructive criticism. Okay? No matter how it comes. Don't be offended at them. Instead, ask the Holy Spirit, how much of that is what you're trying to communicate to me? Because more than likely, he's trying to say something through it. It just may not be the heart of what they're communicating. You got to resolve to face the consequences. Worship team can come up. You got to resolve to face the consequences. Or the faith journey, it's going to end real quickly for you. If you're not braced for some turbulence, for a little bit of the struggle, well then, it's going to be tough. And so I just want to encourage you, let's press in for miracles. Let's pray. We don't have because we don't ask. And when the difficulties come, and they're going to come, don't let those stop you and halt you in your tracks. Instead, press through.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.